Now, the earthquake girl. Edie works in a library and is terrified of causing a world catastrophe. Her sister-in-law thinks she should go out and find a man, but Edie would rather stay in to write a gothic romance.
She's doing it again.
I know.
And right under the sign. Again. I swear she does it on purpose.
I don't think it's malicious.
She's getting crumbs everywhere.
Get the vacuum cleaner out at 5:30.
She sets such a bad example. And I'm not just talking about the sandwiches.
Are these to go back on the shelf?
Why doesn't she read something nice? One of the classics.
I suppose the classics don't have the same appeal.
Oh, here she comes. Will you tell her, Edie? Please. Now.
Mrs. Penny. Mrs. Penny, please, could you not eat your sandwiches under the no-eating sign? You see, eating's not permitted in any part of this library. Thank you. Thank you very much for your cooperation. Only Mrs. Penny doesn't cooperate. She smiles at Edie and nods, but she puts the sandwiches away in her mouth. Then she says...
Finished now.
She has horrible wrinkly tan ties, but a lovely green hat.
I have to remind you, Miss... What's her name?
Penny, Mrs. Penny.
I have to remind you, Mrs. Penny, that we are not a cafeteria.
She smiles at the supervisor. That's what she's like. She couldn't care less, and Edie admires that. Are you renewing these or bringing it back?
I'm renewing.
That's 6 months you've had that out on loan. Why don't you try something different? George Eliot is very good.
Is he pornographic?
No, he's not. Not really.
I think I'll stick with the one I've got if it's all the same to you. Thank you very much.
And she shuffles out with a nice nin. Hello. Are you returning these or taking them out? Chapter 1. This is a story about a heroine, a hero and a monster. The heroine is not the blue-eyed bubblegum cheerleader kind. She's not a princess either, or a chorus girl, or an extremely good-looking nun. But she does fall in love with a handsome man whom she meets one rainy day in September 1897. She lives in a tall, skinny grey house with her father, who's always away, and her Aunt Amelia, who's always talking. As in all good Victorian novels, her mother died while giving birth to her, and as long as she can remember, she's been haunted by the monster. It will be Lila, Edie's sister-in-law. Lila is pristine. Lila says Edie will never get a man in those clothes.
Edie?
Hello, Lila.
Have you written to your mother?
No, not yet. I'm busy.
What are you doing?
I'm writing a novel.
What about?
I'm a monster.
I want you to meet Jeff.
I can't.
He's very nice.
I'm sure he is, but I'm busy. The hero has very good forearms on account of all the tennis he plays. And the monster... What does the monster look like? Shaggy and demon-eyed, possessed by the devil with a sharp and caustic wit. Was a monster allowed to have a sense of humour? Was I too abrupt with Lila? It's Edie.
Hmm?
I didn't mean to be abrupt when you called earlier, I mean. I'm sorry.
We're having a barbecue next weekend.
In September?
The forecast is excellent.
Right.
Your brother would love to see you, so no excuses, Edith. Put a frock on. You'll never get a man in those clothes.
Edie, or Edith, was named after the French singer who sang Je ne regrette rien, which was ironic for a girl who regretted everything. A postcard arrives from Australia because it's the first day of September. Every 3 months they appear like phone bills. Edie puts them on the wall, in the room that gets very little sun.
I need to join the library, please.
Right, well, firstly we'll need 2 forms of identification and at least one with your address.
Okay. What about my driver's license?
Oh, that'll be fine.
And my passport?
Oh, well, we don't usually get us anything as good as that.
Really?
Most people just bring in gas bills or credit cards. Mr. E. R. Maroon.
That's right.
ER, like the Queen.
Like the Queen?
In the last 3 years, Mr. Maroon has been to Egypt and Iceland. Edie wonders which one he preferred. Do you want to take out tapes and CDs as well?
Yes, please.
Right, then, you need to fill in an extra form for that.
Right, I see. Well, that makes, this makes sense. I'm sorry.
Is something wrong?
No, nothing's wrong.
I'm sorry, you look ever so pale.
But just for a moment, then,
Oh, are you all right? Look, you said to put your head between your legs.
What?
Then all the blood will rush to the top.
What's going on?
This is Mr. E.R. Maroon.
How do you do?
Hello.
I think he's feeling dizzy.
What are these books doing on the floor? William Carlos Williams and Miroslav Holub. Well, at least he's reading something decent. Excellent choices, Mr. Maroon.
Thank you.
Are you feeling better?
Mm.
You stay there and I'll fetch you a glass of water. Edie, will you deal with the queue, please?
The queue?
Yes, the queue. There's half a dozen people waiting to take out Dick Francis.
Oh. Eleanor and her Aunt Amelia are enjoying another tepid dinner alone, on account of the fact that Eleanor's father is away on business. Aunt Amelia chews her food very thoroughly, because she has a great fear of indigestion. She finds carrots especially troublesome, but she would rather die than confess this to anyone.
I went to the park.
Again? To the park?
Yes.
In the pouring rain?
I have a very sound umbrella.
Do you want to catch a chill?
No, of course not.
I wouldn't think it beyond you.
I just want some fresh air.
No doubt you have romantic notions of what it is like to catch a chill in the first month of autumn.
No, I don't, really. How is Mrs. Winslet?
Little improved.
I'm sorry to hear that.
The woman is a martyr to her lumbago. She inquired after you.
How kind.
I told her you were tolerably well.
Thank you.
Yes, she wondered when we might see you engaged.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, I cannot say when that might be.
You're not growing any younger, my dear.
Nobody is.
My point, entirely.
Do you think you could pass the salt?
You have a duty to your father.
Thank you.
I beg your pardon?
For the salt.
Colonel Pickering would do perfectly well.
As a lobster.
Eleanor, please.
But don't you think he drank rather a terrible amount of whiskey at the garden party?
There is nothing wrong with a man who enjoys a drink.
He could barely stand by 10:30.
We ought to be grateful that anyone is taking any interest. I think we should invite him to dinner to show our gratitude. We shall have to find something better than this mutton. It really is very tough. Perhaps Parker could get us some beef and you could sing a parlour song.
You said we couldn't afford beef, and I don't want to sing a parlour song for Colonel Pickering.
I am sure beef could be arranged on this occasion, and it would only be common courtesy for you to sing a parlour song.
The last time they had eaten dinner with Colonel Pickering, he had stared at Mrs. Allen's breasts all through dessert, which was tapioca. Eleanor couldn't bear tapioca. It made her think she was eating frog spawn. I'm at home.
Why?
Because it's raining.
So?
You can't barbecue sausages in the rain.
Oh, but the grill in the oven's still working.
Sorry, Lila, I ought to have filmed.
And Jeff is here.
Oh.
He's wearing a very nice shirt.
Oh.
And he's been talking to Barbara Curry for 45 minutes.
Never mind.
Honestly, Edie, all the good ones will be gone if you don't get a move on. I do try, I really do, but you've got to help me. I can't do it on my own.
I know, Lila.
How's the novel?
It's all right.
What's happened so far? Oh!
What?
Jeff's just left with Barbara. Oh, well, that serves you right.
Does she think we're blind?
Who?
That bloody woman over there.
Where? Oh.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Will you go and tell her, Edie?
We can't have people eating in here. You know the rules, Mrs. Penny. Please, put the crisps away.
Do you like the new packet?
Sorry?
They're all shiny now and you can't see what's inside. I preferred it when you could see what was inside.
Well, you really should stop eating.
Didn't you?
Didn't I what?
Prefer them the other way. Do you like crisps?
Yeah, I do.
Do you want one of these?
No, Mrs. Penny, please.
Salt and vinegar. Nothing fancy. I'm not keen on that new spicy range. Oh, the crinkle cut ones. or them that pretend to be old-fashioned but are nothing like what we used to eat. They're the worst, because they're about 10 pence more and all.
They are a bit more expensive.
And they're nothing special, are they?
No, but I quite like them.
Which is your favourite flavour?
Ham and pickle.
I prefer cheese and chive, but only if I'm pushed. Only if there's no salt and vinegar.
Look, Mrs. Penny. Look, so you've just got to stop eating in the library. We don't allow it, and the supervisor gets ever so cross.
I've finished now. There, you see? All gone.
There are flecks of salt and vinegar crisps on her cardigan. She goes back to reading Delta of Venus. Edie feels inadequate and looks at her feet. Lila says Edie's shoes are frumpy and they make her look like a librarian.
What do you think?
Sorry?
What do you think of the poetry display?
Oh, it's lovely.
It's not meant to be lovely, Edie.
Isn't it?
It's meant to be inspiring and invigorating. It's meant to stimulate the mind. I want them to stop reading Gilly Cooper and Daniela Steele.
But they like reading Gilly Cooper and Danielle Steele.
Oh, what for God's sake?
Because of the romance. Because of the heroes. Dick Francis does brilliant heroes. They're always so dependable with short back and sides, and they know exactly how to save people, and they never get anything wrong.
I see.
Are you bringing these back, or are you taking them out? Oh, it's you.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, thanks.
You gave us quite a fright the other day.
I'm really sorry about that.
Oh, don't apologise, please, so long as you're all right now. Are you bringing these back?
I'm renewing the Williams, but I'm bringing these two back. And I'm taking the Pablo Neruda.
Right. You don't know if they played tennis in Victorian days, do you?
I'm not sure.
Well, they played tennis all the time in the Forster novels, but I can't remember anyone playing tennis in Dickens.
They never do anything nice in Dickens, except eat, maybe.
It's true that their lives are very grey.
I always imagine everything in his books happening in black and white. In Forster, everyone seems to live in permanent sunlight, but that could just be the films.
No, Forster is definitely sunnier.
But sad things do happen to his characters.
But it's not relentless tragedy, is it? I can't read Dickens for very long at all. He makes me feel forlorn, like Sunday gravy. You've gone pale again.
Have I?
Oh. Mr. Marone. Oh, so did that hurt?
No.
Well, I didn't know what else to do.
You did the right thing.
I should have got a glass of water.
I am sorry.
No, don't apologise. You can't help it if you keep fainting. It's not your fault. But I should have tried to catch you. That's what I should have done. I could see you were going to go. He was lovely. Absolutely lovely. And hadn't he rescued her from drowning? Not in the sea... But they were at least 25 miles from the coast, so it would have been flatly unreasonable to ask him to rescue her from the sea. No, he'd done the next best thing, and it was really very good of him.
Can I offer you the shelter of my umbrella?
Oh.
You seem to be having difficulty with yours.
You're very kind.
Not at all.
It's all right, I just...
You'll be drenched in a moment.
Oh, dear.
Please, let's at least wait under the bandstand until the worst of it is over.
All right.
That's better, isn't it?
Yes, much. Oh, honestly, usually it's the perfect umbrella.
Here, let me have a look.
I don't understand it at all.
There you go.
Oh, you fixed it. Thank you.
I know. Even the best umbrella can turn inside out, you know.
I suppose it can.
Not at all.
Eleanor smiled and thought how pleasant it was to be here in this place. With this really very charming man. And then she saw the monster, standing dripping wet, half hidden behind the rhododendron. He'd been awfully quiet lately. In fact, she hadn't seen him for nearly a year, not since her dear father was so ill with a fever. What was he doing here?
I have to be going now.
But it's still raining.
I know, but my aunt will be fretting, and besides, you've fixed my umbrella so beautifully. I'm sure it won't disappoint me again.
I don't even know your name.
Eleanor.
Eleanor...
Eleanor Lovitch.
Eleanor always felt that her name sounded much more capable than she felt herself to be.
Will I see you again, Miss Lovitch?
I don't know.
In the park, perhaps? Here, under the bandstand?
Yes, all right.
When? Next week, at the same time?
Yes, that would be lovely. Yes, I really must go. It's been ever so nice meeting you.
Yes. Yes, it has.
Goodbye, and thank you once again.
Goodbye.
We're getting cockroaches.
We are not.
We are.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Are you certain?
Oh, the cleaner's pretty certain. I found her crying in the toilets this morning.
Why?
She's got a phobia about beetles. She found three big juicy cockroaches under the romance section yesterday, alongside half a packet of chocolate biscuits.
Oh, dear.
You know who we've got to blame for this, don't you?
It might not be her fault.
Of course it's her fault. Who else eats their corned beef sandwiches and salt and vinegar crisps in here?
What are we going to do?
Oh, we'll have to get rid of them, won't we?
Yes, of course.
As for Mrs. Penny, I'm going to have her banned from this library.
You're not.
I am. And you needn't look at me like that either.
But...
No buts. She is going to cost this library a small fortune in pest control.
We can't ban her just like that.
She's a liability, Edith.
But she doesn't know that.
Well, it's about time. She did.
Can't we give her a warning? You know, like a police caution. If she does it any more, she loses her licence sort of thing.
But she won't listen. She doesn't listen to a word we say to her.
We'll explain clearly that she's creating a health risk. I'm sure she'll be reasonable.
All right. All right. We'll give her a warning. But if so much as half a cream cracker passes her lips in this building,
it won't.
The heroine thinks about that night sometimes, the night when her mother died. She imagines her father standing by the bed, very still and dry-eyed, keeping a stiff upper lip in a crisis. And for who? For the sake of the kindly walrus-faced Dr. Peterson, or for the midwife who folded things secretly in the corner, or for the drowned woman who lay there, black hair wet with blood. No, it would be sweat, wouldn't it? Why would there be blood in her hair? But there was blood everywhere else. Her mother has black rings under her eyes which are shut now. Her father had not been allowed to watch. He had missed those hours. Paced the freezing corridors like an ice cream soldier and listened, imagined, until the walrus had told him, "I'm afraid so, sir." And still he had not cried. And somewhere in another room in that tall, skinny refrigerator of a house, the heroine was not even an hour old. Hello.
Hello, Edie. It's Lila.
Hello, Lila.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Barbara and Jeff are getting engaged.
Oh, Lila, I am sorry.
There's Mrs. Penny.
Where?
Over there.
Right.
Well?
Well, what?
Well, what are you waiting for?
She's not eating anything right now.
Oh, so what?
Well, I can't tell her to stop eating if she's not eating anything.
Do you want me to do it?
No, I'll do it.
Well, go and do it then.
Good morning.
Morning.
How are you?
Lovely.
You look well.
Got a card from my daughter this morning.
That's nice.
It was.
Mrs. Penny.
Yellow roses it had on it.
Listen...
What?
In the library, we have to have a few rules.
She lives in London.
Who?
My daughter.
Oh.
Have you ever been?
Oh, yeah, lots of times.
It's big, isn't it?
It is.
It's the beef eaters I like.
The thing is, you are not allowed...
If I had another life, I'd be a beef eater. And I'd be called Gloria.
Gloria? Really?
After Gloria Swanson.
Well, the supervisor
What
says...
would you be?
When?
If you had another life and you could be anything you wanted, what would you be?
Oh, I don't know. I'd need to think about it.
Have a think about it now.
Oh, you know, I can't think.
Oh, go on. You can be anything or anybody.
Can I be someone famous?
If you like.
Bobby Moore. There you go. Bobby Moore in 1966. That's who I'd be.
Oh, that is a good one.
Thank you. Right, listen to me now. You really do have to stop. Stop eating in the library.
I'm not eating in the library.
I know you're not now, but you do eat in here most days of the week, don't you?
You know what?
What?
You remind me of my sister Bernadette.
Do I?
When she was younger. You've got the same colour hair as she had and the same eyes. Only she started to dye her hair strawberry blonde. She lives in Australia now.
Edie looks over at the supervisor and shrugs helplessly. The supervisor shakes her head in despair. Edie knows that she's never going to toughen up, never going to be a Clint Eastwood kind of person, and in her heart she doesn't want to try. Although Clint Eastwood does have moments of compassion, especially in The Outlaw Josie Wales.
Hello?
Mr. Maroon.
I went to a doctor.
Oh, really?
There's nothing wrong with me. He couldn't find anything wrong.
It's a mystery, then.
A complete mystery.
Like the ocean.
Sorry?
I just mean a mystery, like the sea is a mystery.
In that case, just like the sea. Anyway, I won't keep you. I just wanted you to know I wasn't dying or anything.
Oh, well, thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Mr. Maroon! Mr. Maroon!
What's your name?
Edie. Edith. Edie knows that Mr. Maroon must be wondering if it's her, wondering if it's her fault. Oh, Mr. Maroon.
Please call me Errol.
Errol?
Yes.
I can't call you Errol.
Why not?
Well, I feel like Olivia de Havilland.
Who?
She was Maid Marian.
I see.
Yeah, with Errol Flynn in 1938.
Then surely she'd call him Robin.
When?
In the film, she'd have called him Robin.
Yeah, I suppose she would. Would you like me to get you a cup of water?
Do you think I could have a cup of tea?
We've only got coffee.
Really?
I'm sorry.
I thought you'd be bound to have tea.
Why?
You look like a tea drinker.
Oh, do I?
Yes.
As a matter of fact, I can't stand tea. I never touch it.
That surprises me.
Well, you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, even if that is a rather dreary cliché. How do you know that I'm not a cocaine addict, hmm?
Are you?
No, but I could have been.
Well, why don't you step aside for a quick line?
You're not funny, Mr. Maroon.
Please, call me Errol.
She is dancing with the hero under the bandstand on a bright December afternoon. Under the bandstand, and it's raining. It's raining really quite hard, and they're dancing slowly, getting slower. Her chin rests on his shoulder, for she is quite tall.
Darling.
Yes.
Would you slay a monster for me?
Of course.
Would you really?
Dragons, goblins, vampires, anything.
Wouldn't you be afraid?
Me? No, never.
I would. I'd be quite terrified if I had to do such a thing. Why is that?
Because you are a woman. As a woman, you are allowed to be afraid of monsters.
Wouldn't you like them to make the same allowances for men?
I don't think it could be done.
But a monster is a very frightening thing. I would have thought it would be impossible to face one and not tremble just a little.
A real man never trembles.
Is that true?
Everything I say is true.
I don't believe you.
They have stopped dancing now, and the hero begins to take pins from her hair so that it unfolds like the honeymoon Niagara Falls.
You are so beautiful.
I'm sorry?
You are, completely. You're like an angel or a highwayman.
A highwayman?
Yes, I always imagined highwaymen to be terribly, fiercely beautiful.
I see.
Just looking at you makes me want to cry.
Don't cry. Please.
And he takes her head in his hands and pulls her towards him, kissing her hard on the mouth, so hard that she feels she is being kissed by a rock.
Edie?
Lila?
Do you fancy a trip to town?
No.
Oh, I fancy getting out of the house. We could get you an outfit.
Oh, I don't want an outfit.
She's here.
Oh, yeah.
Now, are you going to talk to her or am I?
No, I'm going to talk to her.
But you've got to be firm, Edie.
I can be firm. Good morning.
Morning.
How are you?
Not so bad. And yourself?
I'm fine.
You're looking a bit peaky.
Am I?
Do you want a pork pie?
No, thanks. I've just had my breakfast.
What did you have?
For breakfast?
I had a boiled egg with soldiers.
I had cornflakes.
Ordinary cornflakes?
Yeah, just ordinary cornflakes.
Them other ones turn the milk so sweet and then I can't drink it and it's a waste. I end up pouring it down the sink.
So do I. Mrs. Penny.
What?
I need to talk to you about eating in the library. You can't do it anymore. Do you understand?
Hmm.
What does that mean?
Are you sure you don't want a pork pie?
It's got to stop, Mrs. Penny. We'll have the health commission in and we're not even a restaurant.
Yes.
So you'll stop?
Yes.
You'll stop eating foods and drinking here? I won't catch you eating anything else. Now, this is a caution, like a police warning. Obviously, we're not the police, but do you follow me? We're only giving you one chance.
Yes. Can I just finish my milkshake?
Oh, Mrs. Penny, we're getting cockroaches because of you.
Cockroaches?
Yeah, you know, big black ugly beetles.
I know what cockroaches are. They used to rain in our kitchen, like big black raining crawling olives from Provençal. Do you know the kind I mean? Very strong flavour. We used to bash him over the head with a spoon.
Well, we've got them in this library now because of you. Because of you leaving things for them to eat.
I never left anything for them to eat.
Well, not on purpose, you didn't.
I always cleaned up after myself. I always took my rubbish away in a clear plastic bag. You saw me. You saw how I did things.
The cleaner found half a packet of chocolate biscuits under the romance section.
Well, I never left them there. Do you think I'd waste a whole half packet of chocolate biscuits?
Well, someone left them there, Mrs. Penny, and I'm not going to stand here and argue with you. All I'm saying is...
Anyway, I don't even read romance. Oh, is that what this is all about? Eh? You prefer the people that read the posh books, is that it? Well, this woman's posh. Just because she writes about sex doesn't mean she's not classy. She was French, you know. Do you think the French don't know how to do it with class? I've never done half of what's in this book, but I like to eat my lunch and contemplate.
Well, you can't eat in here. It's not allowed.
Where else am I supposed to eat and read?
At home, Mrs. Penny, at home. And perhaps that's what you should do.
I see.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right. I know when I'm not wanted.
Please, Mrs.
No, no,
Penny.
It's all right. I'm going. I'm off now.
And then she blows into a crisp packet and bursts it. The monster was growing. Eleanor was absolutely convinced of it. Last night, he looked in on them in the parlour through the largest sash window. It would have been easy to miss him, but Eleanor had heard him coughing. She'd closed the curtains, of course, and as quickly as possible. No one else had caught sight of him, thank goodness. How would she have explained his appearance? She could barely explain it to herself. And this afternoon he was back again. She couldn't recall him ever being in the rose garden before. She did find it alarming to see him at such close range.
It's a responsibility, isn't it?
What is?
Running a library.
Well, yes, it is.
Do you ever feel that it's too much?
Well, I do my best, and that's all anyone can ask of anyone, don't you think?
Yeah. No. Yeah, absolutely.
You're a good librarian, Edie, and people like you.
Oh, yeah, I know. I mean, I hope so.
Oh, Edie, what are you doing?
I'm hiding.
Why?
I don't want the customers to see me.
Who?
A man.
Which man?
In the blue coat.
But isn't that Mr. Maroon?
Don't look.
I said don't look.
Honestly, Edie, why on earth you...
Please, don't talk to me because he'll know I'm here.
Hello.
Hello. Mr. Maroon, isn't it?
That's right.
How are you?
Very well.
No more fainting fits?
No, not for 2 weeks now.
And just the collected works of Wilcott, is it?
Yes. You haven't got anything by Janos Pilinski, have you?
Only in the anthologies.
Can you order me his selected poems?
Yes, if you will fill in this postcard and pay us 50 pence. Do you want a pen?
Yes, thanks. Is Edie here?
Address goes on the back. No, she's on a lunch break. It'll probably take between 7 and 14 days.
Sorry?
To get the book.
Oh, right.
Right.
Thank you.
All right. What is going on? I didn't know what to say to him.
He didn't faint.
No, he didn't. Which we can be grateful for. It's very distracting for other people, not to mention the hazard to himself.
Of course he didn't faint, thinks Edie. He only faints when I serve him. I'm actually making him ill, like poisonous mushrooms or laburnum seeds or deadly nightshade.
I need to go home.
Why?
I don't feel well. I've got a headache. I think I'm coming down with something.
Eleanor wandered into the dining room with her eyes dancing like diamonds in the December snow.
Good evening, Aunt Amelia.
Do not sit down, Eleanor.
I'm sorry?
Do not imagine for one moment that I am prepared to sit at a table with you and give thanks to God for this food.
Aunt Amelia...
I have never been so humiliated.
What has happened?
Do not ask me if you are innocent, Eleanor. Please, have a little grace. Leave the glass.
I'm sorry, I was just...
Leave it! It broke his heart.
What?
Your mother's death. I have never seen a man so desperate. It put 20 years on him in a day.
I can't imagine.
No, Eleanor, my dear, you cannot. You dare not imagine the horror, not for one moment. Did he stop? Did he rest? Did he take the time to grieve?
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't. Because he had you to think of. He had to work every day that God sent. He was never a selfish man, your father.
No.
You had a fine education.
Yes, I did. It was a fine education.
Did you ever want for anything? Did you?
No. No, I have been very fortunate. I know this.
And now? Now, when you finally have the opportunity of repaying at least some of that kindness, what do you do?
I don't understand.
I think you do.
I don't.
Were you alone in the park today, Eleanor?
Yes, of course.
And are you always alone in the park?
Yes, I am.
I am so glad to hear it, Eleanor, dear.
The slap was sharp and stinging. Eleanor held her hands against her face. The monster was grinning at her, like a chorus girl, all teeth but without tassels.
Mrs. Winslet has informed me.
Mrs. Winslet?
Yes, she's a dear woman. It was her daughter-in-law who saw you, actually, and under a bandstand, Eleanor, in full view of the public. What is your father going to say?
Are you going to come shopping with me on Saturday?
No. I said no yesterday.
I thought you might have changed your mind. We could find you an outfit.
No, no, no.
Will you come into the karaoke night?
The heroine is afraid to close her eyes because she knows she'll see the monster. She tries to think about other things, about piano lessons, tennis courts and pink lemonade as she lies under her bed covers, afraid even to climb out and turn off the lamp. How would she find a way of doing that without getting out of bed? She knows that the monster is waiting for her, but that even if he doesn't get her today or tomorrow or even the day after that, he will get her someday. And probably for the rest of her life.
Perhaps I should do 2 displays.
Mrs. Penny hasn't been into the library, has she?
No, I haven't seen her.
No, neither have I.
What do you think? 1 for the Jilly Cooper readers and 1 for the serious readers.
What?
2 displays, Edie.
Do you think that you should categorise so severely?
Well, what would a library be without categories, Edie? How would we ever find anything? It might well explain, of course, why people are so quick to categorise librarians. But perhaps that is the price you pay for the job.
What are you doing here?
I got a postcard this morning. I came to pick up the book.
Well, you'll have to speak to the supervisor about that.
Oh, where is she?
Oh, she was here just a minute ago. Where's she gone?
I don't know. I didn't see her.
What was it that you ordered?
Pilinski. He's Hungarian. I think it's a blue cover.
LMNP. What's this? There you are.
Thanks.
Have you got your card?
He's written this incredible poem about a wolf. He describes him as lonelier than the angels.
Edie nods, but she's thinking about monsters. She's thinking about catastrophes, world-scale disasters. She's afraid that Errol will hit his head.
Edie?
I'm ever so sorry, Errol, but I've got to get on with things.
Right.
I don't mean to be rude or anything.
No, don't worry. I'll get out of your way.
Sorry.
It's all right.
See you then.
Edie?
What?
Did I do something wrong?
No! Of course you didn't. Of course not. But, I really quite,
There's no one here.
But we've got loads of books arriving at any minute now. You'd better go. You really should go before you go. You see?
What?
Look at you. You're going again. Errol. It's me, isn't it?
Perhaps it's just a coincidence.
There are other libraries, you know. You might have to travel a bit further, but there are others just as good as this one.
I don't want to use another library.
You can always order anything they don't have.
I want to use this library.
But I don't want you to come in here again.
You can't stop me.
I could get the supervisor to ban you.
She'd never allow it. Not when she approves so much of my reading.
If she found you stealing books, she wouldn't have any choice in the matter.
I'd never steal from a library.
No, but I'd set you up.
I can't believe you'd do that to me.
Please believe it, Errol. I don't want to see you in here again. She met him under the bandstand one freezing day, when she could not bear the foggy silence and disgust of that house any longer. Do you think one day...
What?
I mean, do you think one day it will be possible for people to visit the moon?
I think it might.
And can you imagine us? It is 1947, and we decide that we will take a short holiday in outer space.
We shall be very old, but our hearts will be young. I shall wear a monocle, and we shall discover whether the moon is really made of cheese.
And if it is, we shall bring some home for tea.
For dear Aunt Amelia, who will be 90.
I don't think Aunt Amelia will be there.
Well, one never knows. Perhaps in the 20th century people will live to 300.
No.
No?
No, I mean, I shan't be having tea with Aunt Amelia ever again.
Really?
I'm afraid so.
Have they banished tea time in the Lovitch household?
No.
Have they banished you?
Not exactly. Darling, I have left.
Left?
I couldn't bear to stay there any longer.
Stay where?
At that house. The house where I was born.
You've run away from home.
And I do not intend to return, not as long as I live.
I see.
Yes.
And where do you propose to go? Where are you going to live? How are you going to live? Have you given any thought to this matter, Eleanor? Have you given it any thought at all?
Well, I thought... I thought we might be able to marry.
Did you?
Yes.
I see.
I know it's terrible of me to mention it. I know I'm supposed to wait until one perfect spring after...
Well, why should I want to marry you, Eleanor?
Because...
Why should I want to marry you now, for God's sakes?
Because I meet you under the bandstand and we talk and we dance.
I have no money, Eleanor.
I know, but it doesn't matter. I don't care. I'll get a job. I'm sure I could find something. I don't expect you to look after me. I don't care about money as long as we have a fireplace. As long as we have a fireplace and I'm with you, the whole world can freeze over. Her hair was unbrushed. Her skin was still with the impression of her beloved, her mouth red, her heart singing for life itself. And then he had hit her. The beautiful hero from the park, he had hit her hard with the back of his hard-backed book. There were red spots, carefully dotted on her cream organza dress. She tasted the rusty flavour of blood on her lip and felt it warmly trickle down her chin.
She had just managed to not lose her balance, and then she'd walked home.
Your brother did a lovely rendition of Big Spender on Saturday.
Hello, Lila.
You missed a good night out, Edie.
I can't sing.
Neither could your brother.
Well, he's very outgoing.
Yes, he is.
What's wrong?
Nothing.
Well, I'm sort of in the middle of something, Lila.
Really? Got visitors, have you?
No.
Oh, that does surprise me, Edie, because you've always got people round.
No, I haven't.
My point entirely.
Is everything all right?
Well, that depends.
On what?
On your point of view. Have you written to your mother yet?
No.
You going to write to your mother?
I don't know.
That woman deserves a reply every now and again.
I really have been busy, Lila.
Oh, writing your novel.
Yeah.
Isn't it finished yet?
No, not yet.
Tell me about it. Oh, go on, I'd like to listen. Read me some over the phone.
Oh, I don't want to.
Why not?
It's not ready.
Oh, you're like a mole.
What?
You never go anywhere, you never go out.
I do.
Where? Tell me, where?
I go to work.
To the library.
Yeah.
Cooped up with books all day.
And what's wrong with books?
There's nothing wrong with books.
And I go to the park. I feed the ducks. I go to museums. I go to the market. I go to the seaside. I do things. I do things.
That's not going out. You're not the WIED. You're only 27.
So?
So, you dress like you're 40.
I feel comfortable like this.
You don't make any effort.
That's not true.
Are you all right, Edie? Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah. So, how are things with you? How's the decorating? Are you all right, Lila? I mean, why should we always be talking about me?
Because you live like a nun.
And how do you know how nuns live?
Everyone knows how nuns live.
Everyone thinks they know how nuns live, but no one knows for certain.
I think that the life you lead is bad for you.
Why? Because I don't want to go to barbecues and find a boyfriend, or go shopping for the day, or to go to karaoke nights and watch my brother pissed out of his head singing I Don't Pop My Cock for Every Guy I Meet. It's not what I want, Lila. It's not what I've ever wanted.
Fine. Fine.
Oh, look, Lila, I'm sorry.
He means well.
What?
He's a good man, your brother.
I know he is. Of course he is, Lila.
Oh, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't.
Lila?
I'll be seeing you, Edie.
The winter postcard has arrived. Edie shivers as she pins the deep blue sea to the wall. It's cold early this year. Edie wears three polyester jumpers and her favourite stripy socks. Lila says they make Edie's legs look like elongated bumblebees. Today Edie feels like telling Lila to get stuffed.
Hello, can I help you?
Yes, I'm just bringing this book back for Nell.
Nell? Nell who?
I'm sorry, yes, that's Mrs. Penny.
Oh, does she want it renewing?
No, I'm very sorry to say that Mrs. Penny passed away 4 days ago.
Oh.
We live next door. I told her daughter I'd bring this back, one less job for her to do. You know what it's like when someone dies?
Yes.
There's no end of things to sort out.
I know.
When Edie's dad died, there'd be no end of things. He was a hoarder.
She was a hoarder. Shocking thing is that when they found her, well, they think she must have been there for days.
Edie felt as hot as radiators, as cold as Christmas, and as sick as a parrot.
Edie? Are you all right?
No. Edie can see Mrs. Penny lying on the library floor at night, a Nias Nin in one hand, American tan tights wrinkling around her calves, and the cockroaches eating her slippers.
Edie, will you tell me what's wrong, please?
Something awful's happened.
What? What is it?
Mrs. Penny's dead.
Oh, dear. How do you know?
Her neighbour brought her book back this afternoon.
Oh.
I'd accused her of leaving the biscuits in the romance section.
Well, she probably did leave them there.
She said she didn't.
We had to do something, Edie.
Did we?
We couldn't have kept the cockroaches, you know that.
Well, there was only three of them.
Oh, Edie, come on. Someone had to tell her, and I think it was best coming from you. You're very gentle with people.
Yeah, but I wasn't gentle that day.
Well, you were gentler than I would have been.
I should have been more patient.
She wasn't an easy woman.
They think she was cold.
What?
That's the worst bit. They think she was freezing in her house.
That's how come she died.
Oh, good Lord.
And it's all my fault.
What?
I said maybe she should stay at home.
What are you talking about?
I said maybe she should stay at home and read a book and eat her sandwiches at home instead of here.
But that doesn't mean...
She couldn't afford to do that.
You can't think like that.
But it's true, isn't it? The central heating costs a fortune.
Well, she could have eaten her dinner at home and then come here, couldn't she? She didn't have to stay at home and be cold.
She was too proud for that.
Well, that was her choice.
She said it wasn't even her that left the biscuits.
Oh, Izzy, stop
it. I can't stop it. It's like I helped to kill her.
Don't talk such nonsense.
But that's what happened. This is what happened in effect.
No, Edie, no. That's not what happened. Are you listening to me? You didn't help to kill Mrs. Penny. Do you hear me? VAT on heating, pitiful pensions and 75-year-old pride might have killed her, but you didn't. You didn't tell her never to come back, did you?
Edie.
Lila.
Well, you didn't, did you?
No.
You didn't say Mrs. Penny are not welcome here anymore?
Of course I didn't.
Who's Mrs. Penny?
But she still didn't feel welcome. She said, I know when I'm not wanted.
Who's Mrs. Penny?
Lila, what are you doing here?
I've got something to tell you.
Oh.
Have I come at a bad time?
Yes.
Lila, this is the supervisor of the library.
Edie, I've decided to leave your brother.
You are?
Oh, good grief.
Why? What's the matter?
He drinks too much.
Oh, no.
And I've had enough, even if he hasn't.
Oh, no, no, no,
Edie, I think you should sit down.
Is it because of what I said?
You what?
Don't start that nonsense again.
Is it?
What?
Is it because of what I said on the phone about the karaoke night and the great big spender?
Of course it's not.
Hello, Edie.
Oh, Errol.
For God's sake, Edie, do you think I'd walk out on a 14-year marriage because of one remark from you?
Well, I don't know.
Jesus Christ, give me a bit of credit for forethought.
I asked you not to come in here.
I'm sorry.
Who's this?
You've got no right coming in here when I asked you not to.
I know, but...
Lila, have you told him that you're leaving him?
Yes, I told him this morning.
Is he all right?
Yes, he took it quite well, actually. Who is this?
He shouldn't be here. He's not allowed in here.
Edie, I'm sorry, but I really wanted to speak to you.
Well, I don't want to speak to you.
Edie, please.
Perhaps you should come back another day, Mr. Maroon.
No, don't come back. You can get out and stay out.
Will you just listen to me for 2 minutes?
No, I want you to go. Now, go. Go and just bloody get out of here.
Edie, keep your voice down. We are in a library. She never shouts. What's she shouting
He's
for?
He's got to get out. He's not allowed in here. He's not allowed in here. I told him. I told you. Do you want to get yourself killed?
Edie, do you want to go somewhere a bit more private?
I had to see you.
It's very important to me that you didn't come back.
What's going
on? I'm not sure exactly.
Who is he?
Well, it's a miracle you haven't seriously hurt yourself yet.
His name's Mr. Maroon.
You nearly lost an eye last week.
What happened?
I was fine. It's nothing serious.
And what'll happen to you this week, eh? Fancy a spot of mild concussion, do you? And then Edie starts to throw things. Edie throws books at him. She throws anything she can find. Sellotape, date stamps, virals. The date stamp hits him on the head. Errol decides to stand at his safer distance, but he doesn't leave. Everyone in the library is watching now.
Steady on, Edie.
Well, maybe spending regular nights at accident and emergency is your idea of a good time. Is that why you're back?
No, that's not it.
Well, what the bloody hell are you doing here?
I think I'm falling in love with you.
What?
I think I love you.
Oh, my God.
Errol, you don't know me.
I know you're writing a novel. I know you don't like tapioca pudding. I know you'd rather live in Forster than Dickens. I know you've seen the 1938 version of Robin Hood.
Yeah, and you also know that every time I've served you at this counter, you've passed right out.
Is that true?
I think so. He has fainted on a number of occasions.
That's because you're incredible.
And what if it's not? What if it's not because I'm incredible? What if it's because I'm so clumsy and stupid and ignorant and careless that I hurt people all the time? What if it's that means you have to faint every time you see me? What then?
But you're not.
I'm not what?
You're not clumsy or stupid or ignorant or careless.
You see, you just don't know me, Errol.
Well, what have you ever done that makes you such a liability? Edie, did you forget to pack someone's parachute?
No.
Did you accidentally start a war?
No.
Well, what did you do?
I think I killed my dad. I think I did.
What?
I know I did.
Edie, what are you talking about?
It's true, honestly, Errol.
But Edie, it was the cigarettes. It smoked like a bloody chimney.
But he started smoking the day my mum left.
So?
Well, it was me that made my mum go.
Oh, what do you mean?
It was because of what I said.
Edie, I think the milkman can safely take the blame for your mother's disappearance.
But it's because of what I said that she went so far away.
What was it that you said?
I can see her looking at me, standing by the dressing table in her yellow dress, and she
started packing. Oh, she was so angry. I watched her and she didn't say a word to me, not a word.
What was it that you said to her?
Not to her, to my dad. I told him I'd seen them kissing.
Edie, sweetheart, he knew. Everyone knew. You couldn't keep a secret in that street to save your life.
But I told him, and then he died.
He didn't die for another 13 years.
I broke his heart.
Will you listen to me? You're inventing all this. That's what you do, Edie. You invent things all the time. You made it all up about your mother being angry, and she never even wore yellow. I only ever saw her in blue, your mother, and no one broke his heart. Not even her.
But there never was really anyone else.
What about Irene Sanderson? You had a 6-year relationship with her. You didn't spend the last 13 years pining for your mother, but I tell you what, I bet you shed a few tears for Irene. It was lung cancer, Edie. 40 days, likely to kill you.
He was lovely, my dad.
He was lovely, but he wasn't an interesting man.
I loved him.
I loved him too, but your mum didn't, Edie. She just didn't. She loved the milkman, and that's why she went.
Mr. Maroon, are you all right?
The supervisor caught him. She's good like that. Quick off the mark. He didn't even hit his head this time. Although he did have slight concussion from the date stamp.
So are you going to give him the kiss of life, Edie, or what?
Eleanor awoke with a sense of foreboding. A sense of being watched in her sleep. But things do creak at night, and everything seems so much blacker. Perhaps if I put a lamp on for a little while, I'd see that there was nothing to be afraid of. There, that's better. Under my arms, my cream organza nightdress is wet. I want to run, but like a cartoon character, I'm rooted to the spot. And besides, I feel as if my legs are evaporating, turning to powdery, useless stars underneath me. There's thunder in my brain, rush hour traffic in my ears, and my mouth is as dry as a chicken bone. The monster is standing at the end of my bed, and I'm forced to look at him properly for the first time. And I realise quite quickly that he isn't the kind of monster I thought he was. He never has been that kind of monster. I could have seen this years before if only I'd had the courage to look him in the eye.
Have you finished the novel?
Nearly.
Has he come round?
No, not yet.
Will you ring me later?
I'll ring you. The heroine and the monster made love in the drawing room in the early hours of the first day of spring. And later, in the apple strudel light of sunrise, the monster lay sleeping soundly on the chaise longue. Apparently he hadn't slept for 27 years. Eleanor decided that he looked a little bit like a bull, but his green eyes, when they were open, were more intelligent and more magical, less confused than a bull. When she returned to the chaise longue with her suitcase, the monster wasn't there anymore. Of course not. Only rose petals. Eleanor knew that this was inevitable, but like the death of Romeo and Juliet, she's been hoping all morning that it wouldn't happen. Very quietly, so as not to disturb anyone, she left the house and walked to the train station. The end. A postcard arrives from Australia because it's the 1st of March.
Hello.
Hello.
How's your head?
It's fine.
Oh, that's good.
Can I come in then?
Yeah, sorry. Of course can. Come in.
Thanks.
Right, sit down. Here. Oh, no, not that chair. One of the legs is broken. I'll just move. I'll just move these things. There. You sit down there.
Thank you.
Is your head all right?
Really?
Yes, honestly.
I'm sorry about that.
It's okay.
Is it?
I deserved it.
It's true, you did.
So?
So?
So where is it? Edie.
What?
I thought I was going to read it.
You are?
Well?
What, now?
Why not?
Do you want a cup of tea?
Have you got any?
Yeah, of course I have.
You said you didn't drink tea.
Well, I was lying.
I knew you were lying.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. Where's the novel, Edie?
I'm nervous.
I know.
And I'm of a nervous disposition, in case you haven't noticed.
I had noticed.
Well, in that case...
Just give me the novel.
Here you are.
Is it finished?
Uh-huh. Errol.
Edie?
I don't think I'm very incredible.
Incredible people don't. This is the story about a hero, a heroine, and a monster. The heroine is not the blue-eyed bubblegum cheerleader kind. She is not a princess either, or a chorus girl, or an extremely good-looking nun.
Non, rien de rien. Non, je ne regrette rien. Ni le bien.
In The Earthquake Girl by Katie Hinds, Edie and Eleanor were played by Saskia Reeves. The library supervisor was Barbara Martin. And Lila and Aunt Amelia were played by Jane Hollywood. Mrs. Penny was Jean Alexander. Errol Maroon was played by Bert Caesar, and the hero was played by Philip Rand. The Earthquake Girl was directed in Manchester by Kate Rowland.
Car ma vie, car mes choix, aujourd'hui, ça compte.